If you would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 12. This is God's Word. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately, the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. One day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village in Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired Word. Two marvelous miracles, two healing stories in this passage this morning. The first, a man who had a condition that was visibly obvious. Everybody could tell. This was not one of those theoretical healings where, you know, sort of the worst case scenario, somebody says, "You know, I was in a meeting and I was healed of cancer, and the most amazing thing was I didn't even know I had cancer." There's a lot of stuff where people pray for folks and you're not sure what really happened there. This was one where the man was covered with leprosy. It was evident all over him. I have a different kind of skin condition. I have vitiligo. And if you don't know, some of you kids might wonder, why is Pastor Wood patchy and different colors and why does he look spotted and so forth? I have pigment loss. It's an autoimmune disorder. That helps, I know. But as a result, large sections of my skin no longer have any pigment in them, and so they can't tan. And so if I get sun on me, the parts that have pigment go ahead and darken up, and the parts that don't have pigment stay white. And so I look a little like a leopard if you see me in the summertime, and I've been in the sun. But this guy didn't look like a leopard. He had leprosy. He was a leper. Okay? Whereas, you know, some people look and say, "Oh," I actually had a man who wanted me to write a book on suffering, and I said, "Why would you think I know about suffering?" He said, "Well, that skin condition, that's got to be horrible." He was totally serious. He was a major publisher, Christian publisher. This guy had a real problem, not a cosmetic problem. And he was suffering horribly, and everybody could tell by looking at him, because it says he had leprosy. He was covered with leprosy. And so anybody could look at him and see what was wrong. And because of his illness, he wasn't allowed to get close to people. He had to stay at a distance. Lepers were isolated from everybody else. That's why Jesus says you got to go to the priests in order to be reintegrated into society. Because they were not allowed to come around lest somebody else might catch the disease. So when this guy asked Jesus to heal him, Jesus not only heals him physically, which is amazing, I mean, that is a miracle that astounded the people, but Jesus did something else. Look at it. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. You just have no clue what that means. We can't imagine. Imagine if you had been off limits for ages. And this guy obviously had had leprosy a long time because it was now not a spot here or there. He was covered in it. And Jesus reached out and touched him. I am not only somebody who has vitiligo, but I have a much more serious condition, and that is I'm a germaphobe. And I'm neurotic. It's part of my wiring. I have other relatives who are worse than I am, and probably some relatives who aren't as bad. But I just really don't like germs. I really creepy. I don't want to be touching something that might contaminate me and give me contagion. I'm not as bad as Howie Mandel, but I'm bad. And when I was a teenager in Montreat, North Carolina, there was a very liberal group that didn't really believe the Bible, and they didn't believe in the miracles and all this kind of stuff. And they came to town, and they were meeting in the conference center there. They were using Anderson Auditorium, and I went to hear them so that I would be able to tell people about, yes, I was there, and I heard what they said, and it was wrong. I was like one of these Pharisees in the story where they were criticizing Jesus for having said your sins are forgiven. I mean, I was the doctrine police. I was probably 14, 15 years old. But I mean, I was zealous for truth and righteousness and myself. And there I am sitting in the auditorium right down on the front row so that I will be able to say, nope, they said this and that's wrong, and they said this and that's wrong. I was not there to be blessed. I was there to police the liberals. Self-appointed critic. And some liberal guy up there thought it would be good if we all kind of acted friendly toward each other. So when he said, here's what I want you to do. I want everyone right where you are. Stand up. Stand up. Everyone right where you are. Stand up. Very good. Okay, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to somebody near you that you don't know. Someone behind you, someone in front of you, someone to either side, someone you don't know. And I want you to introduce yourself. Tell that person your name and where you're from and something interesting about yourself. All right, go ahead. Go ahead. So everybody's, you know, standing and trying to do that. Well, I'm on the front row. There's nobody in front of me. And I knew the guys on either side of me. So I turned to the person behind me and was shocked to find here was a person with an obvious affliction. Their right hand was drawn up like this, and they reached out with their left hand and said, "Hi, my name is such and such, and I'm from thus and such a place, and something interesting about me, I have a brain tumor, and that's why I have to shake hands with my left hand, but it's under my they took their own hand and said, "It's under my skin up here. You can see a swollen area up here where the tumor is." And they put their hand right on it. And they reached out and took my hand again. I'm dying. Okay? Actually, they were dying. I was just neurotic. And they said, "Well, you know, that's the most interesting thing about me. What about you?" I said, "My name is Jim What. I am from Montreat, and I can't think of anything interesting about me except maybe that I'm from here." "Okay. Would you like to touch the tumor?" I said, "No, that's all right. Thank you." We turned around, and I slipped out and went to the men's room immediately to wash my hands. And I'm in there basically scrubbing like you would before surgery from about the elbows down, picturing in my sick little mind seed tumors crawling up my arm because I'm just about psychotic when it comes to things like that. And God spoke to me and said, "Look at you. Look at you. You came here to judge these people for not being Christian enough. Now look at you. When I met a man with leprosy, I touched him. He was covered with leprosy. I touched him. What are you doing?" I was cut to the quick. I mean, I tear up now. Because what a total hypocrite I was. Completely unlike my Lord. Thinking that somehow I'm representing Him by being the purity police. And yet when I encounter a person who has a real problem, I don't want to touch them. Because I'm afraid, not because I'm afraid somehow I'm going to grieve the Lord, but because I'm afraid somehow I might compromise my own health or something. That's just sick. I was worse off than the person with the brain tumor. Because I have a diseased heart. I need for God to change me and teach me to love people that the world doesn't love. Jesus reached out and touched this man. This guy is lying on the ground with his face to the ground. He's begging for mercy. He says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus touched him and said, "I am willing. Be clean." Does God hate sin? Absolutely. But does God love people so much that He sent His Son to save the elect so that we could have eternal life, not based on anything we had done? He didn't come to save the good people, because there aren't any. He came to save sinners. That's the only reason I qualify to be born again. It's not because of something good I've done. It's not because I did more good stuff than bad stuff or more good stuff than the average person or what. No. God saved me in order to make it clear that He can save anybody. Even a self-righteous, hard-hearted, self-absorbed, narcissistic, prideful Pharisee. God in His mercy saved me. And I am so grateful. Now He says, "I want you to become like me and care about people." I'm working on it. Actually, He's working on it. I'm changing. Having kids helps. You know, if you're a germaphobe and you got to change a messy diaper, you either hire people or grow up. I had to grow up. It turns out that little bit of exposure to certain germs every now and then can be good for your immune system. Just don't be a nut. And don't be nasty either. Find that healthy mean. But Jesus healed this man. And the more he did things like this, the more people were drawn to him. The crowds came from all over. And the various teachers of the law, the Pharisees and the scribes, everybody was attracted to him. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law who'd come from every village in Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present to heal the sick. Great things were happening. It is God's power that's at work through Jesus. People recognize that. Nicodemus would say that in John chapter 3. But as Jesus is ministering, all of a sudden they bring another person with another obvious problem. The guy with leprosy had an obvious problem, and Jesus had compassion on him and touched him and healed him. Now here comes another person with an obvious problem. He's a paralytic. That means he can't move. Some people are paraplegic. That means their lower extremities don't work. My oldest son is a paraplegic. He can't walk with his legs. Some people are quadriplegic. Johnny Erickson Tata is a result of a diving accident when she was 15 years old. Up to that point, she was a very happy, athletic young lady. She dove into water that was more shallow than she knew. She hit her head on the bottom and snapped her neck. She's been a quadriplegic ever since. Absolutely magnificent artist, songwriter, even a singer, which is all the more amazing when you consider how little breath control she has. And when I say she's an artist, I'm talking about the fact that if she could paint like this, her paintings would be really good. But she has to paint holding something in her mouth and going like this. Astounding talent. But her arms and legs, she can't use them. You remember that next time you're having a bad day. You remember that next time you feel like you're being asked to do something that's a little hard to do. Just picture Johnny with a paintbrush in her mouth. Realize, maybe this task is not impossible. Maybe it just requires determination and patience, perseverance. So, this guy had an obvious problem. He's being carried to Jesus on a mat. They put him down right in front of Jesus. Jesus looks at him. Everybody can see what's wrong with him. And they're wondering if Jesus is going to heal him. Because, I mean, the power of God was there to heal. That's what it says. Verse 17, the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. People were getting healed. And here comes somebody whose problem is obvious. Everybody knows what's wrong with that guy. He can't move. Wouldn't that be neat if Jesus would heal him? Jesus looked at him and said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Well, now this is really unexpected. Okay? First of all, because that wasn't what the folks who brought him had in mind. They wanted their friend healed. Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." Just a question here. Which is more important? Getting your body healed so that you can die of something else later on? Or getting your sins forgiven so that instead of going to hell, you get to spend forever in paradise with the Lord? Which would you say is more important? Obviously, having your sins forgiven is much more important. But it really wasn't what they had in mind. I mean, it wasn't at all on the agenda of the people who brought this man to Jesus. Do you know that sometimes we pray for God to get people out of problems that they need? I would have been praying with the Apostle Paul that whatever that thorn in the flesh was would go away. Paul pleaded with the Lord 3 times to take away the thorn in the flesh. But Paul realized in time that he needed the thorn in the flesh and that it actually protected him from much worse problems. Sometimes we look at a person and we think, oh God, if you would just please, I know you love that person, please just heal them of this problem. But it turns out God is using that problem to do something really magnificent and beautiful in that person's life or in somebody else's life who cares for them. We look at it and we can't see what God's up to. But God knows what He's up to. And God's up to good. He's doing what is needed. He's working all things together for the good of those who love Him. You don't have to throw that verse at somebody when they're going through a hard time, but you better keep it in mind yourself. And so when this guy is lying there and he can't move, and Jesus says to him, friend, your sins are forgiven. That's really magnificently good news. But it was a total shock and perhaps even in some ways for the friends, a disappointment. Maybe for the guy on the stretcher. I mean, it'd be hard for him to process. All the way there, his friends had been telling him, no, this guy can do it. This guy can heal you. This guy has healed lepers. He's done all kinds of miracles. I just know it. When we get you to Jesus, He's going to make you well. You're going to walk out of that place. You wait and see. And so they bring him to Jesus, and Jesus doesn't say, be healed. He says, your sins are forgiven. Thank you, I guess. How can you tell if your sins are forgiven?
Well, you just feel different. The moment your sins are forgiven, you immediately, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, feel forgiven.
No, not necessarily. You may not feel any different, but fortunately, we're not saved by our feelings. We're saved by Jesus, and He keeps His promises. God tells us that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God keeps His promises. He says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And He keeps His promises. He says, as many as believe in Him, to them gave He the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on His name. And He keeps His promises. He says, whosoever will may come. And He keeps His promises. So don't be afraid that I didn't feel anything, so I don't know if I'm forgiven or not. What does God say about it? You go by what He says. That's how you know. But Jesus has just said to this man, your sins are forgiven. And the self-righteous Pharisees who've come from all around are sitting there and they're thinking to themselves, who does he think he is? How dare he say that? This is blasphemy. This fellow speaks blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, theologically, they were correct. Jesus had just said something that he really shouldn't have said, unless, of course, he's God. The reason for that is very simple. If Chef Cam borrows $20 from Mr. Pat, I see Chef Cam and I say, hey, Chef Cam, don't worry about paying him back. It's all right. It's all square. Well, who am I? He didn't borrow the money from me. I can't forgive a debt he owes to someone else. How could Jesus say your sins are forgiven? Now, interestingly, there is one other way, and that is if I gave him the $20 that Chef Cam borrowed, and therefore I paid the debt. I'll leave you to figure out how that figures with what Jesus came to do. But I want you to understand something. Jesus, who came to pay the debt for our sins, was able to speak with the authority of God the Son and say, your sins are forgiven. And these people are thinking to themselves, that's not right. And Jesus knew what they were thinking. I love it. I love Jesus. He is so cool. He is so great. He is truly awesome. Jesus says, why are you thinking this to yourselves? I mean, would that set you back a bit? If Jesus started talking to you about what you're thinking, would that make you a little uncomfortable? If you squirm a little bit? Yeah. Because they hadn't said it. They were just thinking it. And Jesus says, why are you thinking that? Thinking what? And he says, which is easier, to say to this man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? Well, I ask you, which is easier? Well, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven because that's invisible. People can't tell. Okay? But if you say, rise, take up your bed and walk, then all of a sudden it either happens or it doesn't. Everybody's going to be able to tell empirically, momentarily, whether or not you really have the power. Jesus said, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, rise, take up your bed and walk. And instantly the guy was healed. And he got up and he picked up his bed and he went home rejoicing. Imagine! This is what I came for! But he got so much more than he came for. God is so much bigger and stronger than we can imagine. Peter, in the previous verses, remember last time what we were talking about? In the previous verses, Peter had spent all night trying to catch fish, got nothing. Jesus says, I'll give you enough fish to sink two boats. Now, get out of the boats and follow me. We've got work to do. God has so much more for us than we can begin to fathom if we will just trust and obey. But instead, we want God to just, God, I'm sorry, please don't tell me about those other things. I just have made up a list here, and I was wondering if you could do these things for me. Because my life would be really nice if I just had some divine power to implement my own agenda. I mean, that's what most people want most of the time. We want God to step up on a momentary basis, do what we want done. You know, I was able to do this and I got this part done and I'm pretty pleased with this, but I need a little help over here. Could you just step in and fix this for me and then I'll be good. Won't bother you anymore. God says, no, I want to live my life through you and I've got a whole different plan. My ways are not your ways. I've got things in store for you that you haven't imagined. And I want you to just trust and obey. So, Jesus, in order to demonstrate who He is, healed this guy. Now, if all we had was that, I would say that the healings were not about compassion. They were just about displaying the power of God. Well, let me tell you, they are about displaying the power of God. They are about Jesus' identity being revealed. But, this is coupled first, with the story about the guy with leprosy, which displays that Jesus was moved with compassion. He wasn't just displaying His glory. He actually cares about people. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. We don't have to choose.
The glory of God and His holiness,
or the love of God.
Glory?
Love. No, it's all one thing. It would be unloving of Him not to display His glorious holiness. And His holiness would not be so glorious if it were not for His unbounded love. It all fits together. Because He's one God. So, the people were amazed. He went home praising God, and everyone was amazed and gave praise to God, and they were filled with awe and said, "We've seen remarkable things today." I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. He still has all power and all authority. And He tells those of us who are following Him that we have work to do. And it involves displaying His love and compassion and holiness here in this world. So you can't be a self-righteous germaphobe who just follows his own feelings. You got to get past what you feel and do what God tells you to do. And God in His mercy will even begin to heal you of your germophobia. He really will. When I got married, I was so OCD, I folded all my clothes before I put them in the laundry hamper. True. My wife thought it was nuts. It was. I stacked my coins by denomination, equidistant from each other and from the edge of the dresser. I mean, everything was neat and orderly. That's just crazy, people. That's crazy. There's no reason. Now I, you know, take my coins out and drop them in a basket. They're all in there. Dimes, nickels, pennies, quarters, all mixed up. And it doesn't even make me twitch. I'm okay. So, did you get on some meds? No. I'm not saying some people shouldn't take meds. I'm just saying God in His mercy gave me a wife. Helped enormously. Okay? Because you become too exhausted to have OCD. It's just one of those things where God is in the process of healing His children. And I'm thankful. You may have this quirk or that weird thing. You say, "Well, I don't know if God could ever use somebody like me." Well, I assure you, if God can use somebody like me, He can use somebody like you. Trust Him. What's the main point today? The main point is very simple. And that is that Jesus came with the Father's power and the Father's love. Jesus came with the Father's power and the Father's love. Jesus came with the Father's power and the Father's love. That's the point. So what do you see when you look at Jesus? You see the Father. And this is what He's like. Full of love and compassion. Full of life-changing power. And that's why sick people got healed. And that's why sinners are forgiven.